As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Plus minus.
Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry!
Tim Kawakami deserves all the credit there.
Plus minus.
Tell Marcus that he asked that question about my defense. You hear that, Marcus?
Anthony, you know me well, buddy. Y'all have a great night.
I think you got the highest plus minus in the season in NBA history.
Hello and welcome to a wrap-up edition of the Warriors Plus Minus podcast. I got to get Marcus Thompson here. You were not on the pod last night. Just eulogize. Should I just give you the phone? I mean, I know you wrote a column today, which I still need to read. I see people. You can just read the column if you'd like, but eulogize. Here, I'm going to have a little snack here, and you got what? How long will this take? 5-10 minutes? Eulogize the Warriors dynasty.
I don't know. I can pull it up and read it.
What were your best points?
No, it was just mostly like how it felt like the end. It looked like the end.
Didn't we say this last year? Haven't we said this like three times before?
I didn't,
was different?
Okay, I didn't feel different? It like they were among the final what?
Elite Eight.
Elite Eight. Yeah, they were a Jordan Poole buzzer beating three from that series being different, right?
You know what time felt more like the end to me, particularly if we're really talking dynasty, like dynastic team. Yeah. Durant Achilles, Clay ACL,
that felt like
unknown that. Future. Durant's gonna leave. When's Clay gonna return? Like they squeaked out the 2022 title, but to me that was the end of the dominance.
Yeah, and that's the thing. Like we just watched them for the first time ever be at full strength, like be healthy as a trio, like no like other harboring issues, like essentially play their best, and it got them the 10 seed. Like, that's the thing that makes it feel like the end. Like, you're looking to say, hey, man, what? It wasn't even like anybody had a bad year. It's not like...
I might disagree.
No, I mean...
Draymond Green had a bad...
he played well outside of the fact that he missed a quarter of the season. But when
they would have been a six seed if he didn't have it.
Yeah, but nah, like
I hear
that, but they also still could have been a six seed. Like he came back and they still played, and they could have been an eight seed, right? They could have been like at every step of the way. Like it's not like he wasn't on the court when it was money time. Like they had everybody there, and they still lost those games. They lost games they should have won. They lost games at home, right? We've seen them. Like, and Draymond was playing well. He's making threes. Probably the worst of them was Steph, to be honest. Like, the worst of them was, like, he was slumping.
So, let me ask you. I'll just pivot you right there because it's a good point. It's one I kind of was made a little bit last night, but I'd love to get your perspective on it. Steph did not play up to his standards the last 2 months. As I said last night, I voted him third team All NBA. I think it's a fair to considering all he did this season. As good a player as he still is, he was a third team All NBA player this year. That's a big difference, though. That's a big difference between first team All NBA, top five MVP, 2022, dominant through the playoffs. I'm not completely writing off that he can get back to that, but he just turned 36. The burden's getting heavier. To me, the roster, it does not have massive shifts ahead. If they're going to win another title, I think they probably need to get somebody better than him. I think he almost needs to be the number two. Maybe that's blasphemous to say. I'm asking you, but considering what you've seen, where he is in the league, I'm not saying he can't be the best player on this team and they can make the playoffs, but can he be the best player on a title team?
I think so, but they can't. They at least need to get a better number two. You know what I'm saying? Like,
it needs to be like on a lot of regular season nights, you're almost a number one. You've used this in the past, like the Anthony Davis LeBron thing.
No question. Absolutely. Like in that scenario where, you know, in some nights and in some ways, you could say Anthony Davis is the most important player on that team, right? They need that. They need somebody where it's like, all right, Steph, you ain't got it.
You need another all NBA player.
Yes, absolutely. That's what I'm saying. So, like, now, if you could say, all right, Steph is 1A and that guy's 1B, or Steph is the 1 and that guy's 2, the 2 can't be Klay Thompson. It can't be Andrew Wiggins.
But it can't really be Pascal Siakam either, if they really have, like, dreams of a title.
That's what I don't know. That's what I don't know. Like, I don't – we haven't – like
– you're going to open that mystery box and it's going to be the same thing you got in the other box.
It's very possible, but the last time we actually saw it, they won a championship. And that was 2 years ago. It wasn't like 7 years ago. Like, have they had a player who's played as good as Wiggins in the postseasons, particularly Western Conference Finals?
Yeah, I can name
one. Have they had a player who's been as good?
Yeah, Kevin Durant.
No, I mean since then.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I mean.
Yeah, they haven't even had, and was that, you know what I'm saying? Like that.
Well, I mean, Draymond's still, like, really good, but, like, Wiggins was unbelievable in that run. And I don't know, they're uniquely built. And, you know, then the other thing is, okay, I'd ask you, but, like, you were in Steph's presser last night. Like, he's not exactly, like, telling them to be as ruthless as possible and Klay Thompson and Draymond Green need to be traded for newer versions. He's basically saying, like, no. Don't lose them.
But then he ended it with, I just want to win, whatever that means.
Well, so what did you make of that interaction? Because he does make the whole, like, I can never see myself without him. And then it's like, okay, well, then you're probably just making small moves around the margins. And it's like.
Yeah, but Steph's desires hadn't governed this thing. Like, you know, Bob Myers left. Mark Jackson was fired, right? Like, there was a time where he wanted moves to be made and they stood pat at the deadline. Like, I think if you telling me, and this is obviously gonna, you know, be a little controversial, but you telling me if they like, hey, we can get Giannis if you're giving up them two, he's gonna be like, no, let's keep Draymond and Klay. Like he's like, no, we had a great run. Let's do this thing again.
Can't wait for the Bucks to be like, this is the pivot.
Here we go.
Giannis for Klay and Draymond.
we're gonna get over the hump now, baby. So the question is the difficulty, and this is why it's like a threading a needle, is how, like, Klay's gonna make less money, right? At least half less, right?
Will it be here? We'll get into that soon. I want you to continue your point.
The question is, can you get a player or two? Because I do think. One thing, Trey showed, if they get a good rim protector, which ain't the hardest thing to get, it's a significant difference. We saw Trey couldn't play in this game, right? Like, he struggled. But if you get a guy who's a little bit more experienced than Trey, you'll be all right, right?
By the way, will be Trey next season
also. It could be Trey, absolutely. So, like, there are some ways they can build up in other areas, but they do need that other guy. How do you get him while paying these guys is the problem, right? Because if Klay is your third best player, I mean, look, you could have your third best player, fourth best player making 25, but, you know, the second highest paid player on the team would be then Chris Paul's 30. So it's like there's a window, a space to do it. You see, if you get yourself at least, at minimum, another ball-handling playmaker, you get that and some rim protection. I do think it shifts things. Does it get you over Denver? Does it get you over Boston? Probably not.
I sense like a Zach LaVine column coming from Marcus at some point in the next month and a half.
It's not coming.
Name your mystery ball handling, scoring, obtainable star.
We don't know that. That's
Damian Lillard doesn't seem too pleased in Portland, but that is another small guard.
Yeah, that's another small guard. Yeah.
We're probably talking more wing than
DeJounte Murray. Like, you know.
I mean, he might have the same issue him and Trey had in Atlanta. Like, I just think the options out there are flawed, but, you know, that's just the reality.
I mean, I just think the league also shifts too, right? And you don't know who's available and who's not. You just don't know these things sometimes. But I do feel like they can no longer just be like, Steph will figure it out. Like, you can't do that. You can't just be like, all right, they're just going to send the kitchen sink out of it. We're going to run our actions and it's going to work. Like, those days are over. You see how like, exhausted Steph looked, how overwhelmed he looked. Like, they've got to do something to take advantage. I mean, because whether or not he's 1A or 1B, the bottom line is he's still drawing two to three people.
Yeah, like I said, he's still, if you're third team All NBA, you'd literally had a top 15 season in the NBA.
You might have a guy who might be really a number three, but next to Steph, if they're going to play him like that, like, that's a different ball. That's where, I'm going to throw his name out there, but that's where a guy like Zach LaVine, I think.
Oh, there you go.
It's literally what happened with Wiggins in the playoffs, right? It's like, who can see this coverage and say, oh, yeah, here's another guy who did it 1,000%. Keegan Murray. Yeah. Keegan Murray just torched him. Said, oh, you going to leave me open? All right, I will destroy you. They need a guy like that. And I don't think you have to be a first-team All-NBA guy to take advantage of that. But if you had one, it's a game changer.
Yeah, and again, that's where they probably definitely hoped, like, Kuminga could get to. And obviously year three was very useful and important, and
do you think he could be that? Do you think he could be that?
Not necessarily, and not in the ways that, like, you know, Kuminga's talking today about, you know, wanting to really, like, you could tell shooting, sharpening up his shooting and his scoring to that next level of score is, like, high on his priority list this summer. And I'm sure we're gonna see plenty of offseason videos of him doing, you know, the various training videos, the two dribble pull-ups, the spin fades, the, you know, going around the perimeter shooting threes. And, like, you know, I actually really like his jumper, probably more than reputation would suggest. Mid-range. He kind of got him back in the game briefly last night with a couple mid-rangers. The three-point percentage, while it's not feared by defense, is like he will hit threes. So, you know, if he does get it to a level that's more feared. But it's just, it's not, from a scoring perspective, it's not natural as natural as a Keegan Murray. The handle's getting better. But again, like, this was always, when, you know, the whole two timeline thing. It's like, do I believe year seven Kuminga could be that? Maybe. Yeah. Do I believe year four Kuminga could be that? No. And year seven Kuminga, it's age 40 Steph Curry, age 41 Steph Curry. So that's where there's an issue. And then you start to wonder, like, okay, then is Kuminga available this offseason? Because he's what could get you something.
Yeah, him. Yeah.
They also are very invested in Kuminga. We know that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
That's going to be an interesting question, well, what you do with Kuminga, because he clearly couldn't take advantage of it. Not in the way they needed him to.
I agree, but that really what's difficult for me as a pundit, whatever you want to call it, compared to like our history of covering this team in the playoffs, like you get 24 games, you get a large sample, you get going through a series, and this guy was like eventually edged out of the rotation and he played 10 good games and 12 bad games or 20 bad games and 4 good ones. We know, right? Yeah. Kuminga just came off 6 games in knee tendonitis, then he crunched his tailbone in Portland. Like, he's just not in rhythm, and suddenly
And Wiggins got all of the touches.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. And so, it's like, okay, he wasn't like terrific. He had a nice spurt, he had some bad spurts. Like, I'm not just like declaring Jonathan Kuminga off one game in Sacramento. Like, just like Klay Thompson is not just suddenly like, oh, a 10, this is who he is. Like, Klay Thompson was good for 2 months. Klay Thompson, like, shot 41% from three on a very high volume. So I don't want to overread. I agree with the general, like, they didn't look like a title contender last night. We know that, but we already knew they weren't. I don't want to overreact to what happened in Sacramento.
Because it's one game.
I don't think it's Sacramento, though. But to me, the fact that they were in Sacramento for one game is what we're talking about.
I agree with that. I just mean more on the Kuminga front last night.
We've seen a lot from Kuminga to know how he's going to get his 20. Yeah. He can get you 20, but it's how he's going to get it. And that's not they need it, but that's not the answer to the equation that is keeping them down at 8, 9, 10. They want to get to 5 or 6. They need another playmaker, another guy would be like, I got the ball, I got this, I'm about to take over this game. They don't have that. I don't know if Kuminga is that, like you say, year 7 Kuminga, yeah. I feel a lot better. Year 4 Kuminga, I don't know.
There was a rookie on the podium today whose answer he said, I just next Bob season, Rose. he's gonna get the ball in his hands more, and he's going to have to take Bob the burden off up, Steph baby. And Draymond. So, like, he believes he's the answer. And I'm talking about Brandon Pajemski.
Yeah, yeah. The way he ended the year, the way he like started looking for a shot, because remember, he wasn't even looking for a shot. I think you're fine with you've got your backup point guard. That's what I think.
I was going to get 25-ish minutes. Like, he's not, he can slide into different lineups.
Yeah, I don't know if it's going to be what he's thinking it is, but like, I think he's part of the solution. That's the part where I'm torn is like, do you cash that stuff in to go get that guy? Or do you keep this stuff and get a guy who's below that guy, you know, who probably hasn't shown it, but you're hoping he does. Like, you're hoping this situation. I mean, like, nobody knew what Brunson would be, but then Brunson was playing next to Luka, and he became a great ISO player. You know why? You can play ISO next to Luka. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's the type of thing.
And even, I mean, you mentioned people not knowing Brunson. Also, when the Knicks signed him, I was like, it feels like an overpay. Yeah, you know what I mean? And the Knicks clearly saw that there was a next level of that, even away from Luka. And so, yeah, like, if they've...
They got to find something like that. Like, that's... It's not, like, high probability stuff here, right? Like,
no, it's not very hard to do. Yeah, yeah, but it's what you get judged and hired and fired and all that for. So we'll see.
Absolutely. But it's got to be a real specific type. Like, you can't have a dude who needs 4 screens. Like, you just can't. I know Steve was talking about they got to get back to their core and, you know, they got away from it. But the league is ISO. The league is spread you out and I'm taking you off the dribble at every point. And so, like, they just don't have that. They don't have a dude who could just. I mean, you saw what they were doing. Like, Wiggins is getting picked at half court because he's got a run point.
They need an unhappy superstar. Paul George, a free agent, by the way.
Paul George? DeMar DeRozan would have been great on this team.
DeMar DeRozan is a free agent.
Yeah, DeMar DeRozan would have been great on this team.
Malik Monk's a free agent.
don't tell him that. You trying to get Sac fans going crazy? He might take a deal. Steph would be like, man, I got you on the Under Armour under the table. He wouldn't leave. This is his kingdom. But I do feel like they need a player like that. And like you said, to get number 5, not saying that. I'm just saying it's not crazy. But to get out of this bit of like fighting with the Rockets, you know, 9-10.
Got Tari Eason breathing down their neck.
Like, you got Tari Eason talking. Like, get out of that. They just need another playmaker. Yeah. Desperately need another playmaker.
Let's talk Clay. His uncertainty is the story probably the next couple months.
This is why Clay is staying. We just watch why Clay is staying. This is my take. We just watch why Clay is staying.
He didn't talk last night after going 0 for 10. Mm-hmm. He's the last one to talk today, and he clearly didn't want to talk. Clearly.
Are you getting that from mine and his just bubbly interactions, yes, where he was just very willing and pumped to answer my questions?
But the idea that he could kind of dictate how this goes after going 0 for 10 is only because of here.
Right? Like, and then lectured us that we don't think about the present. We don't live in the present. It's enough.
Only because of here. He goes anywhere else. They're like, what? First off, you talking to the night you go 0 for 10 in a playoff game. Right? Like, you talk. Can you imagine Steph not talking? Like, go 0 for 10? Like, nah, you talking. But when you do talk, you're not going to get to dictate what we ask about. Like, but that, to me, like, that's a part of his ethos, right? That's how he operates. That's who he is.
You think he knows that, though?
I do think he knows what he can get away with.
Yeah.
You know, like, you start talking to the other team. I mean, if he doesn't, you know, his agent going to be like, so, who, you know, who's the PR guy? Like,
he shouted out Raymond Ritter in his
press conference. I think that's all press part conference. Of Clay's comfort zone, right? That he could do that. Like, that's a lot to give up. It's a lot to ask to give
up.
Oh,
yeah. The ocean, his house, the setup, the teammates he loved. For sure. I think him actually signing on the dotted line elsewhere, like, to get to that moment, there's so much stuff he has to think about, conversations he has to have. Which, by the way, I was like,
he was not ready to think about it when you asked him the first question.
No,
he was coming back.
Basically, or the my favorite was it was like, all right, well, these conversations are gonna have to be had soon, you know. And he and then he looks at his watch and goes, what is it, April 17th? Got a lot of time. And then the point I tried to make, but he kind of just didn't even acknowledge it, was like, yes, free agency is technically July 1st. That is when the world hears about where you sign.
That's what the league says. But that's not when it
happens. That's not when it happens. Yeah. It happens quickly, and it is going to happen very rapidly. These conversations that matter, that really will dictate if Klay Thompson remains at the Warriors.
But nonetheless, Klay knew the question was going to be asked.
I will say, I asked it literally the first question, but like sometimes it's like, what do we want to do? Yeah, sit here and act like anybody in this room cares about anything else?
Absolutely, we're going to dance around it. But yeah, or does it, if you ask a third, does that mean now, okay, we gave the president two questions.
First, I want to tell you how impressive it is that you played 76 games this year. Like, exactly. No, let's just like get to it.
He knew the question was coming. If he had an answer, he could have given the answer. But you know what? He has the right to be a little ornery. Like, it's 1,000%.
For sure. I'm more like, what did that tell you? That, and you're telling me that.
It's telling me that this is why I think he wants to stay here. Like, this is his world, man. Like, Klay gets to be Klay. And another world is a wild thought. And especially if it's coming down to money and role, right? Like, he's probably going to... I mean, look at we went 0 for 10. This is the second season final game where Klay's inability to make shots was a big storyline. Game 6 in L.A.
3 of 19.
He could not make shots.
I actually thought that game was worse.
Yeah. No, I mean, because he was wide open, a lot of them, too. I also think it felt worse.
Like, if he had hit 5 or 6 shots in that game, they might win that game, whereas, like, I mean, Looney said it today when you kind of asked about, were you feeling for Klay? And it's like, yeah, post-game I kind of was. But in the game, it was like, we're all getting avalanched right now.
Yeah, they definitely could win that game, force a game 7, and maybe they're in the West Finals. I mean,
Jordan Poole's still here.
Maybe, exactly. But, like, that's 2 games now. That's 2 times the season has ended with Klay not being able to make shots. And I think he's good. I think he's fine. Like, especially if he's willing to readjust his role. If you bring in somebody, is he going to be like, yeah, nah, I'm the, you know what I'm saying? Or he's like, we've got another guy. Let's embrace it.
Customers are rushing to your store. Do you have a point of sale system you can trust, or is it a real POS? You need Shopify for retail. Shopify POS is your command center for your retail store. From accepting payments to managing inventory, Shopify has everything you need to sell in person. With Shopify, you get a powerhouse selling partner that effortlessly unites your in-person and online sales into the one source of truth. Track every sale across your business in one place and know exactly what's in stock. Connect with customers in line and online. Shopify helps you drive store traffic with plug-and-play tools built for marketing campaigns from TikTok to Instagram and beyond. Get hardware that fits your business, take payments by smartphone, transform your tablet into a point-of-sale system, or use Shopify's POS Go mobile device for a battle-tested solution. Plus, Shopify's award-winning help is there to support your success every step of the way. Do retail right with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/theathletic, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/theathletic to take your retail business to the next level today. shopify.com/theathletic.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We don't even have to, like, oh, there's another guy, this or that. Like, Moses Moody scored, I think, what, 16 points in, like, 15 minutes last night. We've seen it all season. He gets buried. He plays well. He inches his way into the rotation. Eventually, he gets edged out. It's this complete back and forth. And, you know, there's even talk today like, oh, you know, maybe he played so well in a big game that maybe he proved himself. It's like, no, we've done this for two straight years. As a rookie, he worked his way into the West Finals rotation. And we went into the offseason like, year two, Moody Leap on the way. Same exact thing last season. He was in the rotation by the Lakers series. He was out of it by the start of his third year. Were you in there for Moody's press conference?
Yeah, yeah.
As diplomatically as he is, I think, and completely understandably, is making it clear, like, figure this out. Like, he is a rotation player in the NBA. I'm sure, just like Kuminga, it's fine if it's here. It's just got to be a rotation spot. And again, I'm not saying he's going to bang the table, and if suddenly he's the 9th, 10th man in the rotation next season, like, what?
But he is with Clutch, so there's somebody to bang a table.
So that's something. But my point is, like, that is when we talk about Clay and, like, next season and role pivoting, or maybe he's leaving. To me, it's a Clay Moody conversation.
I don't know. I feel like there's another player who was pretty bad in that game that doesn't get talked about, who, if you put Kuminga in that spot, that opens up some more minutes.
Or, you know, when they were starting smaller and Wiggins missed 4 games with personal reasons, Moody started. Remember, he was like guarding Brunson in New York.
Yeah, I mean, I do feel like, I mean, if you just put those 4 wings, right, just be like, hey, one's got to go. I mean, that's kind of like, especially when you start throwing Podziemski in the mix, is like, he's going to play, Steph's going to play. So you got one, you know, you got one small guard in every lineup, right? So now it's tough to keep throwing small guard. And then Clay basically is a power forward. Like, defensively, it's very difficult for him. I feel like they're going to decide one of those have to go.
Yeah.
Wiggins, Kuminga, Clay, Moody, and it's probably not going to be Clay.
Yeah, I mean, I think Wiggins' contract, Wiggins is a very, like, possible trade candidate this summer. He was during the season, we know that.
But also Moody is too. They
I mean, Kuminga is,
yeah,
right?
Kuminga is, too,
yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I mean, Moody was talked about towards the deadline. But I don't know. What? Anything else stick out to you today?
I was only here for a few of them, but Dario was interesting. It sounded like he's like, yeah, I don't think I'm coming back here for no minutes. I want to play.
Understandably. I mean, he didn't play, and he's still only, like, 29.
I guess it just felt like
– you could just tell, like,
he sounded like he felt like he should be playing.
Yeah, I mean, I still think he's like, I mean, they're NBA players, and I'm just like, you know what? I am an 11th man now. Like, I don't know. He was like a lottery pick. He came, and it was pumped as like, what a steal. He's going to go be a star on the Croatian national team. Like, I think it's a little bit like Chris Paul. And you know, I did an interview with him in a story today. But, like, you know, you could make the argument to Chris Paul, hey, like, they would like you back to just be Steph Curry's backup point guard. You're just probably going to play like 16 to 18 minutes a game. That's not what Chris Paul wants to sign up for. And Chris Paul is saying, I love my time here. I love the organization. I love the teammates. That's not necessarily what I want. It's the same thing with Sarge. It's like, I think culturally he'd love to be here. Him and Steve Kerr, like, definitely mesh on, like, a what basketball should be type thing. But, like, yeah, Dario Saric doesn't just want to get DNPs all year and, like, live away from
his family. The other way is, like, hey, man, I didn't play well. I need to work out, you know, get my game back right and come back. And, you know, you're right. They're NBA players. They don't think like that. They think, like, man, I should have been playing. The interesting one to me, the other interesting one was Kevon Looney, who you know, Kevon Looney's like the real one. He's gonna say what he thinks, but him talking about, you know, working on his jumper and how the league's got more athletic and everybody shoots, you could tell he seemed to be able to see why he wasn't playing, even if he may disagree.
I think one of the things he sees is a potential future not here.
Yeah.
Only $3 million of his, I think it's about $8 million, is guaranteed next season. And you know, Kevon Looney away from the Warriors is a little bit fish out of water. And it's like, okay, the screening and the split cut action and, like, just the Steve Kerr, like, you know, this guy matters in the locker room is, like, it doesn't help as much as, like, hey, if he's on a minimum deal in Washington next year,
yeah,
and mentoring Jordan Poole, it's like, you know what else he needs to probably be able to do? Like, pick and pop with Jordan Poole and, like, maybe throw in a 35% of his threes that he's taken 1 to 2 per game. I think that's what it is. Like, you know, because he's 28.
Yeah.
He is. And he's, it's like,
whole career ahead of him.
Yeah, I mean, in his mind, he probably wants to play another 10 years.
That's what I'm saying. He's got, like, a lot of years to play. But I still think that value would be here. I don't know. It's just going to be tough to say, hey, man, we're going to not pay you $5 million. But you can come back if you want. Like, If they opt out of his contract, can they re-sign him? Or is there like a rule that you got to wait a certain amount of time?
Yeah, I think if you... I don't know. Somebody can tweet at us and answer that question. I probably should know that. But there was the Agauskas rule, but that's when you trade a guy and then he gets cut. Yeah, I think you could cut him, give him $3 million guaranteed, and then sign him for the vet minimum, and then overall you're paying him like 5 instead of 8, something like that. Like, sure, that's possible. I don't know.
It just feels like what value he brings is here. You know, like, you go somewhere else, it's gonna be tough.
But that's why he's like looking like, I might need to like rearrange, you know, some of the stuff I can do. Kuminga was shocked to hear that he's extension eligible this summer. Were you in there for that one?
No, I missed Kuminga.
Yeah, I was like, oh, you know, you're extension eligible this summer. Oh, wow, hadn't, you know, am I?
Agent.
Yeah, no, you could tell he knew, but, you know, he's... anything beyond that, any bigger picture things before I get out?
You know, we get Steve and Mike Dunleavy. I almost said Bob Myers. Steve and Mike Dunleavy,
yeah,
on tomorrow. Dunleavy is on the clock, baby.
It'll be an interesting summer for him.
I think Dunleavy's a gangster. I think he'll do what needs to be done.
Question is, what needs to be done?
I don't know what there is, but I don't think he'll have a hard time making a tough decision.
Marcus Thompson needs to do like a report for the Warriors that lays out all his best trade candidates.
They don't pay me for that, buddy. But they might find it in The Athletic. That's who pays me, so.
All right. We'll talk to you later down the line this offseason.